KTW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CD Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The G7 summit kicking off in Italy today. President Biden joining other world leaders for a group photo this morning. But later today on the sidelines of the summit,
Biden and his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, are set to sign a security agreement with the U.S. pledging long-term support for Ukraine's military. The administration says the agreement is like others Ukraine has signed with other countries and does not include any commitment to use U.S. forces to defend Ukraine. It's meant to send Russia a firm message. The U.S. also announced it's widening economic sanctions to discourage countries like China from doing business with Russia.
ABC's Christian Cordero. A state of emergency in Florida as life-threatening flash floods inundate the southern parts of the state. Tropical rainstorms unleashing more than a foot of rain in some areas. And off the coast of Florida, Russian submarines welcome with a 21-gun salute by Cuba as the Russian Navy drills there, first time in 16 years. This is ABC News. We're learning more about what led to Tuesday night's wild police chase in downtown Atlanta during rush hour. ABC's Faith Abube has the latest.
I think there's someone taking the bus hostage.
Investigators say 39-year-old suspect Joseph Greer, with 19 prior arrests, was in a fight with another passenger. The passenger pulled out a gun, and that's when they say Greer grabbed the weapon, shot him, and then took the bus full of commuters hostage.
Someone has the driver hostage, possibly will not let them stop the bus.
The victim, 58-year-old Ernest Bird, died at the hospital. His family saying he survived by 7 children and 7 grandchildren.
One American killed, another injured after an electric shock in a jacuzzi in a private resort in the Sonora province of Mexico. That pool area shut down pending an investigation. Investigators say the shock may have been caused by faulty wiring. Both victims were from El Paso. One woman returned to Texas in critical condition. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Jane Matinier, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
I'm on.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Right, or hey, you've got a bit of breakfast on the corner of your mouth. Well, a good friend will also share valuable insights about the scoop on money and energy savings, like Benjamin Plumbing and their game-changing electric hybrid water heaters. Potential savings of up to 3 to 4 times a conventional water heater with current tax incentives up to $2,000. Benjamin Plumbing's electric hybrid water heaters go beyond being just a water heater. It acts as a dehumidifier for your basement, kicking musty odors, mold, and excess moisture to the curb. Eco-friendly and efficient, these electric hybrid water heaters will leave your wallet and our environment completely satisfied.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses. I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
Now that I refurbished my entire living room with Lazy Luxury, everyone keeps asking, is that a Lazy Boy recliner? What they don't know is that my budget allowed me to redecorate for a fraction with free in-home design included. I say yes. At Lazy Boy, customizable fashion and luxury can be this simple.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
Warrior fan, can't believe I'm about to say it. You just got beamed. Devastating evening for the Dubs. Devastating, in fact, for anybody who has pulled for this Warriors dynasty. It truly did feel like the end of an era. And if not the end of an era, maybe the end of Klay Thompson's era at Golden State. What a terrible way to go. You got to feel for him. Disastrous night for a class guy and a rough night for a class organization.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Well, there is some nasty looking weather sweeping across central Wisconsin as we start a Thursday morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Now, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will bring us more details on the forecast for today and break down what's happening this morning. Bottom line is, basically, everybody that can hear my voice has got about a 50-50 chance you're going to see some showers today. Could be a thunder boomer here or there. Looks like our daytime highs today probably going to be in the low 80s. Winds might be a little noticeable out of the southwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. That rain chance not only occurs today, could redevelop overnight. Now, Friday looks sunny and dry, at least right now, but then Saturday, another chance of rain in the forecast. How you doing out there, everybody? Don't forget, I've got my talk text line in play if you want to talk. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let me know what's happening in your backyard. I'll tell you, my backyard here in Madison is full of blue and gold. The 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention draws to a close today. Last night, they introduced us not only to the stars in agriculture for the FFA, but also our new officer team. I'm going to try to squeeze that in. We're following up on dairy reaction to the announcement that testing is going to be required of all lactating dairy cows that are going to county fairs or exhibitions. We're going to hear from some of the fair board members that are impacted, as well as those dairy exhibitors. Plus, Andy Fallman with EverAg. He's stepping in to join us as well.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compeer Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
There's a new face at the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association headquarters in Wisconsin Rapids, as Grant Holly has joined the association staff as the new executive director. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Holly comes in with a fresh perspective. He tells me more about his goals for the year ahead, but first, he tells me how he found his way into the role.
I came this way. My background was in agriculture education as well as science education. I've been a professor at North Carolina State University, focused with the College of Education, working with the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. From there, I matriculated over to an international position that also dealt with health and agriculture. During COVID, I made my way up to Wisconsin, working with a health nonprofit. As I dealt with that, I realized that agriculture is where I'm the happiest because it has the absolute best people. And I found the Cranberry folks a few months ago and started talking about their new transition. And we all got excited and started moving forward with it.
So did you have a lot of Cranberry experience before that? Or is it's on my Thanksgiving table and I enjoyed it? Or take me through then how that transition has been for you.
The plant itself, the only experience that I've had, I grew up in West Virginia and we have an area called Cranberry Glades. And I've been able to actually see some of the biology there because it's very special for the state. And if you go through an undergraduate in any of the sciences, you wind up going there. But we're going to call it minimal knowledge. I have cooked with cranberries for years. They are fabulous to add to things, especially the tart ones, not necessarily the sweet ones in my book, but it's everybody's different. But yeah, That's where the experience came from, but I've been learning as fast as I possibly can about the actual growing of the cranberries over the past few weeks.
And so you are new to this role. How do you see it growing now under your reign?
Well, we have it, Tom Lochner, and the entire community has a lot to thank him for. He's been around for 35 years, and with the amount of information that's inside of his head over 35 years, one of the few times in my life that I've actually felt a little intimidated, simply because of just his huge stretch. Tom was able to put you guys, or put us on the map, in terms of starting up some nice research agendas to be able to get things more permanent. He set us up with a number of tools that's going to help us go for the next 5, 10, 20 years. My hopes are to be able to start really digging into the history and the families that are surrounded within cranberry, and look at new pathways, new avenues for funding. Look at new products that can actually be produced. Just looking at this whole transition, because that's what cranberry is going through. There are a number of farms that are going from father to daughter, father to son. It's within the whole family, and we're seeing that new generation coming into play. One of the fun parts is that I met so many of the people on my own interview committee that their parents were the ones that hired Tom. And it's just, it's the new generation. And we're all excited to be able to see where we go now.
And you mentioned research. Is there certain research that you're excited for that's coming up, or anything you're like, hey, I want to help our growers learn more about this? I know we export a lot of our cranberries as well. So take me through a little bit more on that side of things.
So research that I'm super excited about, first, if you go to exactly what's applicable to the growers, so learning about the cycles of the cranberry, but also learning how a changing climate is affecting those cycles. So how do cranberries perform in central Wisconsin, and how they may perform in northern Wisconsin can be two totally different things. We don't want a grower in northern Wisconsin to realize that after they have paid to be able to completely renovate their bed. So if we can figure those things out inside of a lab, it's going to help to be able to save them money. If we can do researchers on this darn little leaf hopper that's out there that scares us all to death, and realize, okay, when are they the most vulnerable, and really start to take how we're going to affect that little sucker in a more narrow window, it just saves everybody money. It keeps the resources in play, uses less pesticides. It's best for everybody. But then also starting to be able to take a look at this past year or two has really started to convince a lot of folks that our climate may not stay the same in the next 5 to 10 years, and getting in front of that and being very proactive, not just for the cranberries, but for the environment that they're on as well, because our farmers are always very much in tune. Their farms are 150 years old, and they didn't get that way for the farmers being negligent. They're very cognizant of their own ecosystem.
So speaking of your members, how are things looking for them? We've had a very mild winter. I'm sure they had some frost depending on where they were located. Now we've had lots of rain recently. So take me through, how are things on track for them, or what are you hearing, any challenges or things that they're facing right now?
Things are absolutely on track for them, and they're very positive, even with the crazy year that we're sort of in. The piece is that they are having to adjust a little bit, and that's just what farmers do. When they see their window to be able to plant, it was something that may have been able to take 3 to 5 days, but they see that their window is now 1 to 2 days. Well, they're going to stay up at night, and they're going to do what needs to be able to be done. But yeah, they're doing a very good job of adapting with the changes that are out there right now. So far, nothing is insurmountable or gloom and doom or scaring us by any means of that word. But are our farmers putting in a little bit of extra work this year? Oh yeah.
So it sounds like we can expect still a good quality yield, and Wisconsin's going to stay number one in cranberries?
Oh, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Wisconsin is absolutely staying number one. Yes.
How is transportation affecting? Are they getting drivers? Is that becoming an issue? I know for a while they were having some issues getting their product to where it needed to be. Has it kind of plateaued and got back to normal?
As far as I know, so I'm very new to all of this, but it's I have heard people talk about the past few years being very difficult to be able to get the drivers. Again, sometimes some drivers are going to be doing multiple routes in a given day. It's, again, one of those things of having to work harder for a changing environment. But for now, from what I'm hearing, especially with all the avenues, not just within the growers, but the entire community is coming together to be able to help boost the number of drivers that are out there as well. So I don't see that as being as much of a problem as it's been.
And now on the consumer side of things, you mentioned how you like to eat cranberries, but if, you know, I'm a consumer and I'm going out to purchase, what should I be looking for to make sure I'm getting that high quality Wisconsin cranberry?
Well, one, always look for Wisconsin cranberry on everything that you buy, because Wisconsin is the best. Very sorry to Massachusetts and New Jersey, but we are the best. What I would highly recommend is figuring out what your tastes are. I mentioned that I do like tart, but many people like the sweet. Are you baking? Are you cooking? Play with it is the best thing that I can say. You can't go wrong, but really just adjust it into what you, your family actually like. You're bringing a fruit into your own meal, which can just not be bad for anybody. Where I really like is, of course, the cranberries, whether they're sugar or they're tart. Find some cheeses. Go out there and find some good Wisconsin cheese at the same time and start playing around with that. Look at using cranberry and like a puree, turn it into a vinaigrette, put it on your meat. So I came here from North Carolina, and one of the best things that I like to do is take good old-fashioned North Carolina pulled pork, and I take a cranberry vinaigrette, and I really start to break it down with that. And oh my goodness, it is just to die for.
Once again, that's Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association Executive Director Grant Holly along with us. He says he's excited to continue to improve Wisconsin's top-ranked industry of cranberries, promising fresh insights, cutting-edge research, and a deep commitment to sustainability and growth. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
June is Brain Awareness Month, and the Alzheimer's Association estimates more than 120,000 people are living with the disease in Wisconsin. In the Green Bay area, there are two dementia-friendly neighborhoods hosting what's called Purple Angel Trainings. Here's Advocate Casey Kapelczynski.
It starts from the basics. What is dementia? What do you need to understand about the disease? What sort of things should you be recognizing? And how do you best adjust your behavior to interact with them in a way that's positive for each individual in that interaction?
And the sooner dementia is recognized, the more support can be given.
And the more informed we all are, the sooner we can start treating it with the medications that we have, interventions, diet changes, whatever it might be that your physician recommends.
You can always learn more at ALZ.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Cheese Curd King Nick joins us, along with Matt Gable from the Meyer Theater to give us a rundown of upcoming events.
Plus, we'll check in with one of my favorites, Pat Tracy. We'll share stories of our time in Oshkosh this week.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Rule goes into effect on June 19th. That is the day that the Elroy Fair in Elroy begins. One of the exhibitors that's being impacted by this is Stacy Copenhafer. She normally exhibits dairy cattle of all ages at the Elroy Fair, but she says now she's trying to get her arms around this new one.
My first words that came out of my mouth was, I have nothing for the fair now, because it's a week before the fair, if that. I don't know what the price is going to look like to get this done. I haven't had heifers on halters. I just had my cows and all planned out. So I felt like I was pretty much starting over for the fair a week before I had to be there.
That's, again, one of the exhibitors, Stacy Copenhafer from Waniwak, who was planning on, like she said, taking her milk cows to the Elroy Fair. Well, that's all changed. And she said the other hard part about this situation, she doesn't know. And apparently neither does her veterinarian.
I got in contact with my vet. I'm waiting on a call back because she actually had no idea about the testing. So I'm kind of stuck there too. Waiting on a call back today when we figure out what the price is going to be, how long the wait period is. I got a couple heifers out last night for the first time. A little chaotic, kind of hoping that they can go, but kind of just sitting and waiting for a couple of days. And then if it doesn't work out, I might just have beef cattle at the fair.
That's a tough spot to be. I can appreciate that. Stacy Copenhafer from Waniwak, one of the exhibitors impacted by the new test requirement for milk cows that are going to the county fair or exhibition. Let's pivot, talk weather. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us. You showed dairy, didn't you, Stu?
I showed dairy, you bet.
Yeah, and I can sympathize. If all you've ever worked with are your, or, you know, if you've got what you've got ready are your cows, trying to break a halter, break a heifer and make her look nice for the fair in less than 7 days, that's kind of a feat.
That's a monumental task.
That's a, yes. Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's talk weather. I mentioned to you when I rung you up that I've got rain over the studios right now. I'm not alone.
No, you're not alone. It extends from Madison and off to the southwest and right up here in the Fond du Lac, Lake Winnebago area. Thunder alert dog suddenly appeared in the studio as it cracked one time. So we're seeing that. That's the area in Wisconsin, in fact, heading east and southeast this morning. More back into central parts of South Dakota, far southwest Minnesota. A cool front is dropping through and into Wisconsin now, at least in the northwest part of the state. It will drop through the state by late today. We'll see this initial rain. There may be some redevelopment this afternoon right ahead of the cool front as it drops through, and then we'll dry it out. Yes, skies clear out. Temperatures will still be warmer than normal, but a little bit closer to that level for Friday and Saturday. Clouds redevelop. Already Saturday, I expect the next system begins to edge in. Another frontal boundary moves in. And on toward very late Saturday in northwest Wisconsin, more likely Saturday night for most of us, a chance of a little scattered shower or storm, a little bit of scattered rain that could linger to Sunday with very warm air returning. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
I really love the change-up I'm seeing at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee reminding you, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com, or better yet, let your nose lead you to the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Bavaria Sausage, more expanded hours. Their retail location open now Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays 9 until 1. And like I said, let your nose lead you. The old world flavors are in the air. And if it's time for a brat fry, they'll be outdoors sharing those smells and those flavors. And I like the change up there, too. They're featuring different brats, different sausages every time they hold that event. Follow them on social media to find out for the next scheduled brat fry. And like I said, the old world flavor stays intact, but be sure to pay attention to new flavors being offered all the time. Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right. Well, we have that rain in the east and southeast this morning. It will end. And there could be some redevelopment across the state this afternoon. In between, partly sunny and pretty mild in the low and even mid-80s. Southwest winds will become northwest as that cool front passes, 5 to 15, a bit gusty. Overnight with a clear sky, we drop into the upper 50s with west wind, 5 to 10. Sunny tomorrow, still very nice, upper 70s and low 80s. West winds becoming north, 5 to 10. Partly sunny skies develop Saturday. That rain chance toward late in the day in the west, upper 70s, Pam. Southeast winds 5 to 10. Sounds like summer. I expect some 80s on Sunday with a few scattered showers or maybe a storm.
So dairy breakfast folks should be on alert, huh?
Yeah, we've got one in Sheboygan County Saturday. They're right in the clear, looking great. But Sunday, yeah, be watching.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and find out what we get out of this system, okay?
All right, sounds good. See ya.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, along with Thunderdog, keeping us informed on what's going on weather-wise for a Thursday morning. We'll keep you posted on any of that storm moving through. Don't forget, our talk text line is available too, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with
broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street. The talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you! Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The G7 summit kicking off in Italy today. President Biden joining other world leaders for a group photo this morning. But later today on the sidelines of the summit,
Biden and his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, are set to sign a security agreement with the U.S. pledging long-term support for Ukraine's military. The administration says the agreement is like others Ukraine has signed with other countries and does not include any commitment to use U.S. forces to defend Ukraine. It's meant to send Russia a firm message. The U.S. also announced its widening economic sanctions to discourage countries like China from doing business with Russia.
ABC's Christian Cordero. A state of emergency in Florida as life-threatening flash floods inundate the southern parts of the state. Tropical rainstorms unleashing more than a foot of rain in some areas. And off the coast of Florida, Russian submarines welcomed with a 21-gun salute by Cuba as the Russian Navy drills there, first time in 16 years. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ellis Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump and current First Lady Jill Biden are both coming to Wisconsin. Jill Biden will be in Green Bay on Thursday to meet with local seniors and launch a new initiative, Seniors for Biden-Harris. Trump will be in Racine a few days later. Our battleground state has been a popular destination for both Biden and Trump in 2024, who will fight to win key points here in Wisconsin in November. Wisconsin ranks number 11 in the nation for kids' well-being. That's according to the annual Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count data book. Wisconsin's child poverty rate is down, but Emily Miota of Kids Forward says disparities persist.
Wisconsin remains the worst state in the nation for Black children and families.
Black children in Wisconsin are 29 times more likely to live in high-poverty areas, and they're not doing well on reading tests. Absenteeism is a problem, too. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Preston likes the new defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers wrapping up their mini camp with their final practice. I asked linebacker Preston Smith if the new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley gets down to the details.
Yes, this is definitely fine detailing in his system. Everybody has a role and everybody has a responsibility. Nobody gets a pass and everybody has a responsibility in each call or anything. And you kind of know the responsibility in the run game and the pass for everybody.
NBA Finals, the Celtics win again, this time 106-99 over the Mavericks. Boston up 3-0 in the best of 7. Game 4 tomorrow night in Dallas. Baseball, the Brewers host the Reds tomorrow night after beating the Blue Jays 5-4. It's their 6th series win in a row at AmFam Field. Willie Adames.
It's great. I mean, obviously, every time we play in front of our crowd, we always feed off from their energy. And, you know, we're doing a tremendous job here at home. Hopefully, we can continue to do that and, you know, sometimes carry that to the road.
That's Brewers shortstop Willie Adames. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome documentary filmmaker and comedian Michael Alexander for part 2 of his interview about his film Out of the Loop. And Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss all things Wisconsin sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny and windy in your forecast for today. Good morning, I'm Corey Hartman. West winds will approach 30 miles per hour today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Mostly clear and breezy tonight, a low around 59. Friday sunshine, 78. Partly sunny and 76 Saturday.
It's 64 at our studios.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While new messaging from the Republican National Committee and former President Donald Trump encourages turnout by early absentee or mail-in voting, GOP lawyers in Nevada, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Mississippi, and Oregon are simultaneously challenging the rules and legitimacy of mail-in voting. Following years of claiming widespread mail-in voter fraud, Donald Trump implored his followers June 4th to swamp the vote. Quote, "Whether you vote early, absentee, by mail, or in person, we must swamp the radical Democrats with massive turnout." May 20th, a U.S. Supreme Court challenge by GOP candidates to Oregon's mail-in voting failed when the high court refused the case. June 5th, appeals were heard after Delaware laws permitting a permanent absentee voter list and early voting were struck down in a case brought by the state GOP chair. In Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Mississippi, the GOP is challenging whether ballots with no postmark or date or arriving after Election Day can be counted. Drop boxes also continue to be an issue. The Wisconsin Supreme Court appears poised to restore drop boxes after a previous conservative court banned them. But Wyoming's Secretary of State recently urged county election officials to stop using them while citing no evidence of misuse. An attorney in Oregon's case told the Oregon Capital Chronicle, "Vote by mail is an abomination, and we will fight it every possible way we can." Find more reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Mino and the Mayor, radio password with your host, John Mino.
The password is lingerie.
Jim, your first clue is from Mary. Mary says, sexy.
Is it a person?
No, it's not a person.
We can't say Mino. It's lingerie.
Oh my God! How is that possible? Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Going to be moving on to national competition, and we've got Andy Foman, broker analyst with Everegg, joining us live this morning. He shot me a text message, wants to focus in on the value of the Mexican peso and how it impacts dairy. We'll see what that is all about. Thanks again so much for joining us. So today is the 13th day of June already. Not a lot of things that I can bring to you. How about a couple happy birthdays? Happy birthday to the Olsen twins, those little girls that kind of made their presence known worldwide on Full House. Today they turn 38 years young, Ashley and Mary Kate. Happy birthday also to actor-comedian Tim Allen. He's 71, and now you know. I want you to know that we're continuing to bring you details from the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention that concludes today at the Alliant Energy Center. First, let's recognize the stars that were noted last night on stage and will be advancing to national competition representing the state. Big congratulations to the star in agri-science going to Andrew Cottom from New Auburn. The star in agribusiness, Allison Lucen from the Slinger FFA. The star farmer, Taylor Morosik from Pulaski. The star in agriculture placement, Cadence Hodorf from the Campbellsport FFA. Those four, again, representing the state, advancing to national competition this October in Indianapolis. They also introduced the 2024-2025 Wisconsin State FFA officer team. Here we go on that. Luke Schroffnagel from Thorpe, Abel Kosma from Waupun, Taylor Morosik from Pulaski, Jarman Wagner from Melrose Mindoro, Amelia Draxler from Glenwood City, Alyssa Schauer from East Troy, Emma Johnson from Amory, Tyson Gerke from Fenimore, Crystal Anhalt from Mishicot, and Cheyenne Johnson from Oregon. That is the officer team taking over the reins officially today as our new Wisconsin State FFA officers. Now, remember, later this morning, we will find out the identity of the Wisconsin State FFA president selected from this year's officer team. Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, is there. She'll be bringing us the details. Well, there's a lot of energy and activity and excitement at the FFA convention. There's also an undertone of concern. Wisconsin FFA broke records this year with the number of kids that want to be involved in that organization. We're going to see an attendance record at this year's state convention. But the number of teachers that are in Wisconsin involved in agriculture education in the FFA, that number is challenged. That's according to Sally Ladston. She's the Department of Public Instruction State FFA advisor.
So we're up to over 50 teacher changes for the year, and I believe we're at 6 retirements. So if you do the math, a lot of those are either new programs starting, which is exciting, going from a one-teacher program to two or vice versa, We're seeing a lot of other career and technical education areas where they might not find a teacher, so now they're looking at, could this potentially be an agriculture program that has an emphasis in another area? We're also seeing just teachers leaving the classroom and heading into other fields, industry, other places in education, whatever that looks like. And so the conversation continues to be, how do we recruit and retain those teachers? A huge benefit for us has been experience-based licensure, getting people into the classroom who haven't followed that traditional four-year university route. That comes with some additional supports that are needed for those individuals. And something that I've been really trying to focus on this year is, how do we make sure that we're supporting those individuals and not saying, well, we don't have a licensed teacher, and saying, we have a licensed teacher, it's just a different type of license. And because of that, we need to make sure we're providing the supports that those individuals need. That not only comes from the state level and my office and the Wisconsin Association of Agricultural Educators, but also looking at those community supports too. How does a community embrace a new teacher and make sure they feel welcome, so that they're not ready to jump in 2 years, but instead they're ready to dedicate their life to the career field.
Sally Ladston, she is the Wisconsin State FFA advisor within the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. She says she expects that number to go up as far as teacher vacancies through the summer months. The other interesting note she brought to me is that sometimes teachers don't wait until the end of the school year to exit their position. She said they've had a recurrence lately of teachers that decide they want out right around January. Again, look for more details from the FFA convention on our Facebook page, Fabulous Farm Babe Midwest Farm Reporter. Of course, follow the Wisconsin FFA. Another item that we have to continue to monitor, the announcement by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection that effective June 19th, anybody that's going to exhibit a lactating dairy animal at a county fair or exhibition will be required to test that animal and make sure that it's free of the high path avian influenza virus. Charity Seebecker caught up with one of the fair board presidents that's going to be directly impacted by this.
In response to the recent announcement from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection regarding new testing requirements for lactating dairy cattle attending fairs, the LRA Fair Board has taken action to ensure compliance and minimize disruption for their exhibitors. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and the new mandate requires exhibitors to do influenza A testing no more than 7 days prior to taking their cattle to the fair. LRA Fair Board President Marie Price says they have sprung into action, as she wasn't surprised that the mandate was made.
I really wasn't terribly surprised. I've been following the issue pretty much all spring, especially since a couple years ago the avian flu did affect, you know, many poultry shows across the state. And we were like counting down the days from the last case just to see if we could have our poultry show. So I've been watching this all along as it's, you know, tracked through dairy herds throughout the country and stuff. So my initial reaction was really not that big a surprise. I'm like, okay, we just got to figure out how we're doing this and let's get it done type thing. Because if you've been following it at all in the dairy industry, you knew it was probably coming down.
So how many dairy cattle exhibitors are typically expected then at the LRA Fair? Do you have an estimate of just how many exhibitors will be impacted by this?
Well, we have about 40 dairy cattle exhibitors at the LRA Fair. However, as the dairy industry has changed more and more, we have more managerial heifers and less cows. So I only have about 15 exhibitors that are directly affected that are showing dairy cattle at the fair. So it was a pretty small number to contact and stuff.
LRA Fair President Marie Price along with us. She says exhibitors and attendees can rest assured that every measure is being taken to protect the health of dairy herds and maintain the integrity of the fair. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thanks, Charity, and thanks, Marie, from the LRA Fair for speaking with us on this topic. Everybody's trying to feel their way through this new testing mandate. If you've got some thoughts or you're somebody that's being impacted by this, please go ahead and share with us our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. All right, we've got our friend Andy Fallman from EverAg on the horizon with us. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed right now. December corn is up 2 at 470. November soybeans down 3, 1144. The July wheat, that's a penny stronger right now at 618. Yesterday in Chicago, there was no change on our barrel cheese or AA butter. The 40-pound block cheese gained a quarter of a cent, 193 and three quarters. The July class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning, up 7, 2067 a hundredweight. August is up 7, actually closed at 2107 a hundredweight.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hi, folks. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about how to spend less when you're shopping online. As a busy mom, I know that online shopping can be convenient. Sometimes a little too convenient. Today's tip is don't fall for the free shipping. You know that moment when you've got the thing you were looking for in your online shopping cart and, oh, look, if you just add like 11 more bucks of stuff, you can get some free shipping? Before you click on that fancy pair of socks that you really don't need, go check the actual shipping costs. It's usually still cheaper to pay for shipping. I mean, you really think those companies are offering free shipping just because they're nice? We all love deals. But when you're trying to save money, if you don't need a thing, think twice before buying the thing. For more savings tips, head over to workmoney.org, check out my videos on YouTube, or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinere, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
Okay, I'm
How
on.
About that?
I'm on.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
We are here to talk about something very near and dear to our heart, and that's housing for veterans. And this is Gail.
It's gone to the city council before. Wanted you to tweak some things. You did that, and it came up last night for a final vote. And
we got the vote.
Yeah.
It was amazing. We had so many people speak on our behalf.
Fantastic. Could not be happier.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Todd Alba.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. On the road with Jane and Todd. The tour continues. Next stop, Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Stop in for a coffee with Jane Matinere and Todd Alba.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Up way early this morning, and she said a lot of lightning. I concur. That's kind of what we've been seeing around our area as well. So like I said, thanks again for your rainfall updates. You're welcome to use that talk text line anytime you want. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. I'm walking blind a little bit this morning. Our friend Andy Fallman, broker analyst with Everegg, joining us this morning. I hope that's you on the line, Andy. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Pam? How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for dialing in. I appreciate it. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the dairy complex. When Andy communicated with me last night, one of the items that he wanted to focus in on, exports. We have not had a lot of good news as far as dairy exports were concerned, Andy. What are you seeing? Is it still the same, or are we starting to gain interest?
No, we're starting to gain some interest, and Pam, appreciate the time. Short answer is we're getting some interest. And, you know, what's interesting is that we actually had year-to-date cheese exports, some of the highest that we've seen in over 10 years. So, to me, it seems like, you know, we had that bout of low prices not earlier in the year, right? And we were really competitive with respect to the rest of the world. And it was clear that, we get to work. And so we were able to move quite a bit of cheese. So what's interesting is that, again, year-to-date cheese exports bias. I mean, the highest we've seen since we really started actually, like, you know, looking at or recording that data and keeping track of it. So I think that's why we're starting to see, you know, cheese climb over $2. And, you know, it feels like something that's here to stay. It'll be a question of whether or not it can persist going forward. But again, you know, exports, I can recall, I remember in 2022, you know, why we were able to go to $25 milk. A lot of that had to do with exports. You know, we start to move quite a bit of cheese in that space.
Well, and that is when really we started to realize how important the export market was if we were going to be able to continue to grow our dairy segment from a producer standpoint. And like you said, Andy, that's kind of been our story. Now, along with that, I want to talk a little bit about the milk production data. That's a piece of news that kind of, you know, at first blush, it makes you wonder if we've got to keep these prices where they're at. We want the world marketplace, but Andy, right here domestically, we still have some challenges, don't we?
Definitely, in terms of a milk production basis, it definitely feels like there's going to be some challenges, you know, here and going forward, right? You know, we obviously know what's going on with HV1, but also, too, you know, if you look at the last couple of months' worth of milk production data, we've been, I mean, trending lower. We're going to get another report here in the next couple of weeks, usually towards, like, the third week of the month. But that said, you know, like, again, the last two reports are actually, you know, lower year over year. So, you know, one guy put it to be really well, one day doesn't make a trend, but you're starting to build a trend if we have three or four of these in a row. So, to me, the best bull markets have always been when you have increasing demand. So we've got really good exports, obviously, right? I mean, best we've seen in year-to-date so far here in the last 10 years, but also bull markets have decreasing supply. Decreasing supply, increasing demand. So that, to me, I think it's going to be something that's going to be on the mind of folks that, you know, on the other side of the coin that buy milk to make cheese, right? Like, how much milk are we going to have going forward? Especially, we're supposed to be building milk supplies during April, May, right? I mean, that's a time when you typically start to see percentages of milk go up. So to see them go down year over year, just really interesting. And now we're starting to get some heat. It's here in the summertime. And it doesn't sound like it's just, to me, I don't feel like we're going to be see a year of growth in terms of milk production.
If you're just joining us, this is Andy Fallman. He's one of the broker analysts that we lean on from Everag, talking about the dairy complex this morning. Andy, another item that you wanted to discuss relative to our export market, the value of the Mexican peso. Why is that something that's catching Andy Fallman's attention on a Thursday morning?
It's very steadily grew in terms of with respect to value to the U.S., right? And so, you know, as Mexican peso goes up, their ability to import product gets, you know, just that much easier, right? Their dollars go further. And so when they had their recent election, their recent presidential election, their peso actually, and there's on the day of, had quite the shock in terms of its price. I think it's down about 4%. Those that I speak to in the international space that would deal in, you know, import-export into Mexico say it isn't that big of an issue. You know, you have to remember, too, it doesn't, you know, we don't have to put anything on a boat to get, you know, product there, right? It's a truck that drives across the border. So it's a little bit, I'd say, easier to get product there, right? But, you know, again, if that valuation continues to drop, then you're going to have problems with regard to, like, their ability to continue buying, right? Because now their dollars just don't go as farther as they once did. So that will be, if anything, can kind of throw a wrench in the export market, because they've been such a great partner with us this year. That could be something.
Yeah, well, and you know what you're talking about, obviously, is consumer preferences, and we are monitoring that here in the United States. You know, the Fed has decided they're stepping away from moving interest rates. Inflation is under control, it appears, but consumers vote with their dollars at the grocery store. This is something the beef complex has been watching really, really close. Andy, have you seen any numbers on consumer purchases here in the United States? Are retailers still offering specials? We're getting close to the 4th of July weekend. We've got Father's Day this weekend. Are they still featuring any of our dairy products?
Yeah, that's a good question. Promos have definitely been picking up here as of late. And you think about dairy, too. It's a staple, right? I mean, it's at the very end of the grocery store. You have to walk through the entire store to get to the milk. They do that for a reason, right? And so because, you know, most folks, when they go to the store, they're likely to buy a gallon of milk or some kind of dairy product. And so you got to walk through the rest of the store to get there, and their hope is that you put a couple extra things in the carts. So getting folks in the store to buy the dairy products, even if it's a loss leader, is something I think you're going to see grocery stores continue to do to help actually just combat inflation entirely, right? You know, we want to make sure folks come in and are able to purchase. And so, yes, short answer is we've definitely seen some promotional activity that's been picking up. It's been increasing domestic demand. Whether or not that promotional activity continues, we'll see. You know, but to me, I think that's going to be something that stays longer, despite even if price continues to go up on the spot basis of the CME, because I think that's going to be something that drives folks to come into the grocery store to buy, you know, things, you know, basically everything else, right? Get them in, take a loss, you know, have a loss leader on the dairy to get some, get folks in the door.
Mm-hmm. Andy Fahlman again along with us, ever.ag, their website, if you want to catch up with Andy. One more question. You got about a minute to answer, Andy, and it's back to the consumer preference. Butter has been on a ride lately. A lot of it has been because butterfat is at a premium, trying to find that butterfat. We usually lose that when the heat comes on. I'm wondering now if that's going to impact ice cream, some of those other products that are fighting in the marketplace for that butterfat.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. As the heat, actually, it's funny. I took my son to go get some ice cream yesterday afternoon after class. Short answer is yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to be impactful, right? And what's been interesting about butter too is that there's been demand for products over the last couple of years that's increased. That's, I think, caught the market off guard. Things like cream cheese, right? I mean, you said it. Ice cream, something that comes up front and center during summertime, but you know, so does cream cheese too. And that's been something that's been, you know, more or less like it's been fighting for demand for cream. I don't see cream or I don't see butter really, you know, lighting up anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect if we're going to see that, it's usually towards the latter part of the year, right? Folks get done buying for the holidays. That's all done, right? You know, bought and paid for, and it's on the store shelf.
Yeah, I got to let you go, Andy. We're up against the clock. Andy Fahlman, good enough to join us on a Thursday. Stay dry. We'll catch
this
you tomorrow morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Mino and the Mayor.
Would it be improper for me to be at the farmer's market in my biker shorts tonight?
Depends.
Because people can wear biker shorts in public.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course you can.
So,
are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I got those good thighs. Sometimes they need to be released.
You don't worry about, you know.
Unleash the thighs. I've had people tell me that.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Parents take action to make school lunch programs healthier. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
According to the Chef Ann Foundation, several states have acted to make school lunch programs healthier for kids. Mara Fleischman was a parent advocate for better school lunches before she became the foundation's CEO.
I think the most important thing that I learned when I was trying to increase freshly prepared foods through the district as a parent was that I was going in without enough education about the school meal program. And so the food service team was annoyed in a way at my lack of understanding of what they were up against. When you kind of just go in where it's like, you know, we just want better food, it's harder for them to tackle that.
Fleischman suggests parents themselves do some homework.
I feel really strongly about particularly the first part, which is getting educated about school meal program and then kind of really figuring out what you're asking for.
Fleischman says one hurdle to improving school lunch programs involves treating food service workers better.
If we're kind of looking to the future of where we all want to see school food, we have to kind of look to see what is the workforce we need to get there.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Donald Trump meets with Republican leaders. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Tune in each day, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you! Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Florida Governor